Chapter 15. I lay on the bunk of the holding cell in the city hall with my hat over my face while Henry lectured me about professional ethics. It is not good to punch your co-workers. It was the only way I knew how to shut them up and get moving. Where were you, by the way?
At a safe distance.
I wonder where they put the dogs. I glanced up to see the sheriff's detective, Chuck Schultz, investigator of cold case files and friend to the common man, standing outside the holding cell. He looked to his right and gestured toward the bars between us.
Tad, let these two out.
There was a mechanical sound as the lock whirred, and he pulled the gate open with a vintage groan.
Geez, Schultz, thanks for putting us up in the big house.
Yeah, we only use this one for people we're going to release anyway. You should be impressed. It might be the only cell with actual bars left in the entire state of Montana. We've still got bars in our jail. Why does that not surprise me?
I shrugged on my jacket, and we stepped into the center walkway and partial freedom.
I blew a night stay at the Dude Rancher.
He led us out to a young patrolman who yawned and then slid my coat across the desk, along with my badge wallet, regular wallet, the strange little book about the wandering without, and a clipboard, which I assumed I was meant to sign. Picking up the pen that was attached to it with a chain, I scribbled my name and re-threaded the pancake holster through my belt, stuffing away the rest of my things as Schultz reached over and picked up the book.
What's this?
Oh, something I picked up at a bookstore in Hardin. He thumbed through the pages and then flipped back to the cover, studying the image.
Hardin has a bookstore?
Well, she's trying. The Cheyenne Nation followed suit, signing his name and collecting his wallet and antler-handled bowie knife.
What's this mean, this design?
The bear tucked the short sword away and said,
"End of the world."
The detective handed me the book.
Not a mystery, then.
Henry smiled.
It is, according to whom you are asking.
Returning it to its resting place in my jacket, I asked,
"You from Montana, Schultz?"
"Born and raised. Great Falls, actually."
"Ever heard of a place called Fort Pratt?"
"Yeah."
"Where is it?"
"It's near..."
He thought about it.
"Up beside,
He still thought about it.
"Near Browning, I think."
He turned to Henry.
"Right?"
"On the Blackfeet Reservation."
I pulled the book back out and looked at it.
"Not near Fort Shaw?"
"No, farther up than that. Hell, I think it's almost near Canada."
Henry made a face.
"Bab near Glacier?"
"I think,"
he considered.
"I'd have to check a map."
"It's not on any of them I've looked."
He glanced at the patrolman.
"Where are you from?"
"Iowa."
"Well, you're no help."
Schultz started up the stairs as we trailed along.
"Maybe the Dude Rancher will hold your room for tonight. I hear you got a basketball tournament. My money is on the Navajo."
"Mine would be, too, if I had any."
Henry shook his head.
"That is no way for a head coach to talk."
"Head coach?"
Schultz turned at the landing to look at me. "Nobody else wanted the job." He crossed through two sets of double doors and opened another where we looked into the room to see Dog lying on a vintage green velvet sofa next to a young woman who was stroking his massive head. I slapped my thigh, and though he looked a bit reluctant, he slid his girth off the sofa and trotted out to greet us, tail wagging.
"What about the other dog, the Doberman?"
Schultz led us down a hallway and into a parking structure where my truck was waiting.
"Belongs to the guy who owns the evaporated building and who is not very happy right now."
He tossed me my keys.
"I can imagine. He says he leased the building to Alpine Painters, but not the other side of the structure. Evidently, Schiller was illegally subleasing it as a stopover storage for a couple of questionable trucking firms. There's no way you're legally allowed to store anything like that stuff inside the city limits."